It's Monday evening, March 11, 2024, in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. I'm Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair, Tech Talk Co-Chair. And tonight, we continue a ritual that has gone on for many years. Mike May has gone to the CES shows, Consumer Electronics shows, and he's been with us many, many years. And to introduce him, here is John Gassman.
You pretty much did.
Yeah, I know. Good luck.
Just about everything I was going to say. I was going to say he's been to the CES show longer than most of us in this room have been alive, seemingly. But there's always something new and interesting to talk about every year. And so we're happy to welcome back to Tech Talk, Mike May.
Yeah, thanks very much, John, Larry, and for having us again. Gina is en route. She just texted me and said she landed. And I don't know if she'll have the same problem getting unmuted as I did on my phone, but I'm in here. And then I also hope a couple of the other people from what I called the CES 2024 blind vine. We had about, I don't know, 10 different blind people that were comparing notes and trading tips during the conference. And I sent a message out to all of them saying, come join and tell us about your favorite find at the show. And then Gina, I guess I'll take the lead and be the main broadcaster, and Gina will provide color once she gets in here, because she'll be in the car heading back from the airport. Just a brief update on myself. These days, I work for the American Printing House for the Blind, not quite full-time, but focusing on a little broader navigation stuff than I have over the course of my career. As most of you know, I've worked on accessible navigation with a number of different products. And that's part of what took me to CES when I started going in 1984. And I haven't gone every year, but almost. And then I think I started doing playback reports for Ed Potter in about 1999 or 8 or something like that. You know, when I discovered that if I had a press pass, I could go to all sorts of cool events, and particularly an event called Unveiled, where the new innovative products were being shown to the press. And so once I got that press pass, then I thought, I got to keep doing this. So you guys are helping me to justify my press credentials to get into some of the inside goodies. Sure. And Gina, or if you see Gina pop in, just let me know so okay. I can let her introduce herself.
All right.
And I'm also doing some work for a couple other small companies. Some of it's just pro bono. I love startup companies, and particularly when it's new technology that's coming to the blindness field. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of those companies when we get through the CES, because they, the Consumer Technology Association, which I was on the board of until the end of 23, it facilitates startup companies, particularly in the accessibility field, to come to CES. And I think they cover the expenses of 5 different startups, first timers to come to the event. And a couple of these companies were there that I think has some pretty new innovative technology that's going to be coming out. So what I'm going to do is just go through my notes as I normally do. CES is a chaotic place. I have my Braille Note PK. Still haven't found something that's replacing that yet. Now discontinued for, I don't know, 12, 15 years. But it's great when I'm standing there talking to people to be able to read my notes. And I have CES notes back to early 2000s. So I can always look up a company or product and say, you know, I think you were here before. Or a similar product that I want to look up. So that's kind of a cool way to reference what's being developed over the years, and also to remember names of people that I might have met at that company or booth before. So as I crank through all those different exhibits, I take notes, and I'm going to just give you the benefit of some of that just in short tidbits. And you might want to be ready to take notes, because if you hear something that you want, I don't have all the links at my fingertips by any means, but I can maybe tell you a little bit more information if something interests you. And we'll break at, I don't know, 5:40 or something like that and take questions. And also, I want to know if Bob Sweetman pops in, because he was one of the people in the Blind Vine, and be interested in his comments on some of these things. We saw some of the same stuff. But there's, I think, something like 4,000, let's see, 150,000 people attend, 140,000, something like that, and thousands of exhibitors, millions of square feet of space.
Bob is here, by the way.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'll ask Bob to chime in a little bit to give you a break from my voice. And if I know he also saw a product, I'll ask him what he has to say about it. There's different trends that are kind of interesting to note each year. And there certainly is a lot of emphasis on pet and dog products. And so one of the first things I saw was from a company called Invoxia, the French company, and there's a lot of French companies represented, and it has the dog tracking capabilities. And with a lot of these devices, as you see, I'm going to mention several others, there's tracking that's looking at the dog exercise, kind of like your Fitbit or sports watch. And these things typically are, let's see, $100 and then maybe $5 to $10 a month for fees, because they're paying for cell service. And that's Invoxia is one of those. There's a company called Iper, AIPER, intelligent lawnmowers. And there was three lawnmower products. That was one of them. These are autonomous lawnmowers. And my lawn's not big enough to justify one, but I keep hoping the price will get down low enough where I can have one, because I have, you know, I have a Shark robot and a iRobot in the house for vacuuming. That thing's about $2,000. There's another one, TechMatch. No, that's onto the other project. Anyway, there's about three of those, and I assume people probably aren't too keen on them, but just to let you know, the market is growing. There used to be one, and there was at least three that I saw. There's an autonomous snowblower that I saw last year, and I didn't find it this year, but I've been trying to talk to those guys into letting me beta test it, because we just got 3 feet of snow here at the house. TechMagic was one of the many products that are in the sort of automated kitchen department. A lot of new interesting products, and I'll save a couple of these for Gina when she comes along, but this was a robotic stir fry device. So that was kind of interesting. There was a barbecue device, and I think this thing goes for several thousand dollars. So you got to be talking some serious barbecuing. But it can cook a steak in 30 seconds. It was had all this robotic stuff, and you put the meat in to this little clamp, sort of like a toaster upright, and it's $3,500, and it cooks it some like 2,000 degrees temperature or something. It was crazy. I better save this for Gina, because one of her favorite products called the Cold Snap, an ice cream device. Skipping over some of the ones that she'll comment on, just so I... I don't know if anybody has the Concept 2 rowing machine, but it's one of the more accessible ones, because it works with an app and it has this module that goes on it. And they've been around for a number of years, but there was a new module. If you are a Concept 2 owner, you might want to check out this thing. It's called the myrand.com. And it's not made by Concept 2, but it gives you some additional functionality. I saw the company called AEROHT, which is a flying car company. And during the high-tech global conference back in December, there was a company that talked about all the accessibility that's going to in a flying car that they're testing in like LAX area. So it's kind of interesting. And I've seen on the web other flying cars. There's one in Japan that was noted. So as we have autonomous vehicles, now they're not just on the ground, they're flying.
By the way, Gina is here.
Okay.
She's still muted, but she's here.
All right. See if you can unmute, Gina.
Okay.
Yeah, she might run into the same problem I did on the phone. They must have changed some setting, because I didn't even find it when I went to the meeting settings to unmute it. Okay, she can mess with that, and I'll continue here. There's one of the things I've really been researching and paying a lot of attention to is hands-free glasses. And not everybody wants to have glasses on, but when you think of all the different things that we're using cameras for now, Aira, Be My Eyes, Good Maps, it involves either putting the phone in a pouch on a backpack or in a lanyard. And if there was a way to have it, a hand-free mechanism, I think people would be interested. So I'll talk about some of the glasses in a bit, but there was a jacket cam, which is from a company called PhoneCam, PhoneCam.io. And it goes on your jacket and transmits video. So that's a little different of an approach than the glasses one. There was a smart stroller, and I'm on the Facebook group for the parents of blind kids, or Blind Parents Connect, I think it's called. And it was kind of interesting. This thing is called GLUX Kind. It's a smart stroller, and it's got a certain amount of power in it to help pull the thing along, because it's a little bit heavy. It has the capability for rocking, has brakes, it has speakers built in. It has some obstacle detection, which I thought would be interesting for blind parents. $2,400, so you don't get this autonomous stuff inexpensively, but it is kind of interesting. It's an option for people that want to have a high-end stroller. Another product that I've been really keen on, and I'm an active user of, the Shox, now called Shox, used to be Aftershox. And I have the OpenCom 2, and I love it because it has a mic, a boom mic, and I think you get the best audio that way. But there are some knockoffs that are pretty good and half the price. And one is called Moreintech, Moreintech. There's an ES918 and an ES980. And as I said, they're half the price of the Shox. I like to support the Shox, but I think these they're pretty comparable. I have some that I've been testing, and they're pretty good. And there's a few other companies. They also came out with an AirPod version. So it just goes in your ear, and it's not over your ear the way that the other ones are, but these look almost identical to the Shox.
Just so you know, Bob Sweetman does have his hand up.
Okay, Bob, shoot.
I'm here now as well.
Oh, good. Then I'll go back to a few. Well, I'll just keep going through these, and then I'll rewind back to some of the other things I waited for you. There's an interesting concept from a company that's called the GoGo Charger. And so they're putting these stations in restaurants, so you can charge your phone as you're sitting there at a restaurant, and it has an app that goes along with it. And they let me test it, and it was pretty good. And I think they could deserve some more feedback, but be on the lookout for the GoGo Charger on some of your restaurant tables. A lot of people may have seen at conferences. I think it's been at CSUN and other places. eSight, their eSight Go is there. This is a $5,000 device. It's a low vision product. And of course they add new features and they do a lot of cool stuff, but expensive, but in the same realm as the OrCam, and doing some pretty good enlargement stuff. Let me go back for a second, Gina, to the kitchen thing. I mentioned that you liked the ice cream device. So this is the cold snap. Tell us about that.
Well, the cold snap is like an instant, like a Keurig, but for ice cream. And it's already pre-made in small containers, like kind of smaller than a dog food, can of dog food. And you put it in there, and I think it's done in like 30 seconds, and it's like frozen ice cream. It was delicious, and they had multiple flavors. It was expensive. Was it like $2,500?
Something like that, yeah. It wasn't clear that it would be an end-user product. It might be more for a little ice cream shop or something that, you know, a shop could have adjunct to what else they were doing.
Yeah, it was really neat, though, and the ice cream was delicious. I was surprised how good it was.
Yeah, and the nice thing was you could keep these little modules on the shelf. They didn't have to be refrigerated. So it made them cold, and it made it into really creamy ice cream.
Mike, did you talk already about my favorite thing about the dog ball grower catcher?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'll just go sequentially through my notes here. Mm-hmm. There's a GPS that's an insole going into your shoe to help with tracking. So think of tracking kids, maybe tracking your exercise, not having to have a GPS, you know, elsewhere. So I've seen these for probably 10 years. This particular one's from a company called KOKASIN. And they've actually sent me a follow-up email. So I think they're curious about some of the disability markets. And it would be $600. So again, it's not inexpensive, but for, you know, multiple purposes, it might be good. This is one Gina can probably tell you about. It was one of the more unique, and we said in our announcement that we'd like to talk about some weird things, but this thing was drone soccer.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. I think I might. Yeah. That was amazing, you guys. So they had these soccer fields, and they were for sighted people. And we think they're also could be totally modified for blind people. And people have the drone control in their hand. They're standing on the outskirts of a court, like a mini soccer court. And then
caged in.
Yeah, caged in, right. Yeah, they're in a cage. But you can fly these little drones around and bop each other. And it's super competitive in Europe. Yeah, what else to add, Mike? That's what I remember.
Yeah, picture something the size of a basketball, but it's a mesh with the drone blades inside, the copter blades inside of it. So these things are flying around. So it's kind of a combination of Quidditch from Harry Potter and soccer. And there's five of these on a side, or however many you want, and they go against each other. It sounded cool because there's, you know, 10 things that are buzzing like drones are.
Yeah, and they had unique sounds. They made unique sounds. It was really, really something unique.
Can you hear me now?
There we go, Bob.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I saw that there was a lot of stuff about AI at the conference, but a few things that I noticed, there was a dog grooming product. And basically it removes an undercoat to reduce shedding, which would be really helpful for guide dog users who are using rideshare services like Uber and Lyft. And I haven't had time to, I have one that I'm testing, and I also have written to some dog grooming people, and I'm waiting to see what kind of a response I get from that, but I'll send that to you when I get it. But it looked really good. It worked really good to remove fur from the dogs. The other product I saw was the new Hera earphones, which have been released. So I bought a pair and tested the unit. It cost about $450, which is very reasonable, but it had several limitations that were similar to the ear products that I tried previously. For example, I had a hearing loss from in 2010 after the swine flu, and so I was diagnosed with mild hearing loss. But I noticed when I I put the when I put on the headphones, I lost echolocation and I couldn't safely determine the direction things were coming from. So I quit using those. So I had hoped the new Hero product would work well, but it actually goes in the ear. And I tried I think it was world settings. But if you, on that one, the serious thing was you lost echolocation capability. If you snap your fingers, you couldn't hear any echolocation. And probably the most serious problem is while you were walking on the street, and if you answer your phone, sound immediately switches totally to the phone, and so all outside sound is turned off. So if you answer the phone while you're walking on the street, you only hear your phone call, which is kind of a showstopper. I'm thinking of writing to the company to see if they can improve that. But I'm kind of thinking what I'm going to be doing is waiting for new glasses that are supposed to be released in September or October. And the nice thing about those is that nothing is in your ear, so you can still hear everything that's around you. As soon as you face the person talking, their voice is amplified immediately. And so you can hear them really clearly. And Mike, maybe you remember the company that is going to release those glasses, but they were so awesome because as soon as you faced the person, I think it was about a 12 degree radius, you could hear them perfectly. It focused in and kind of it reduced the surrounding sounds, but you could still hear things around you. So I think those have really a lot of promise.
Yeah, that's a new Ray-Ban product, and it's as Bob says, it's you could point that straw that 11, 12 degrees towards somebody, and it brings them in more clearly. So a lot of hearing products, over the counter hearing aids are now a thing, and a new Hero, by the way, is NEWHEARA. And when I come to that dog grooming product, I'll tell you the name of that company.
And I want to interject that I think it's great that we're learning about these products because as we all potentially face hearing loss, we don't know that these are the kind of questions to ask, like, oh, what happens when I answer the phone? I mean, I think a lot of these we wouldn't think of, and then there's such a large investment that it's hard to find out after the fact. So thank you, Bob, for all your research.
Well, you know, it could still be a really good product for someone with low vision, for example. If you have some vision, you can still see things around you if you're on the street, and that makes a big difference. But if you're totally blind like myself, when that sound cuts out,
you're in trouble.
It's really scary, yeah.
We've reported in the past about the Spin coffee maker, which Gina has, SPINN, and it's an all-in-one beans, water. Yeah. You know, you push a button on the app, and it makes the coffee. And it's a little bit temperamental, but it's really cool when it's working. And Bosch is coming out with one, they said in mid-24, that does the same kind of thing. So that's a bit, you know, that's an established company with really solid customer service and good products. So I would stay tuned for that Bosch product. And they have a good app. I think theirs is one of the better appliance apps out there. Anything else about that, Gina?
No, I'm very excited about that too. And they had a gigantic line.
Yeah, they had a lot of interesting products at their booth, Bosch did. My favorite high-end speaker is SVS, and I think they've really brought high-end audio and speakers that would be $10,000. They've gotten down into the $2,000-$3,000 range or below, and they're coming out with a new SVS Ultra. I think they call it Ultra Revolution, and it's kind of it's a stack of speakers between mid-range tweeter, and they're stacked in an angle in order to align the synchronization of sound so it reaches your ear at a more appropriate way than typically your straight up and down speakers that have all the ports in straight alignment. And I have their last year model, but this is the new one. Now we'll get to one chord. I'll give you a brief explanation, and then Gina can comment more because she was pretty excited about this and has done a TikTok video on it. As you may know, American Printing House has the Monarch tactile display for being able to view. It's a full page Braille display, able to read Braille in, you know, a multi-line fashion, but it also can display photographs, and I'm excited about maps. Being able to see maps and images of different things on that thing is really amazing. The one chord is kind of in the same vein, but it's not with Braille dots. It's with vibration motors. So picture something the size of a piece of paper, except it's thick, let's say 4 inches thick. So a 4-inch thick tablet, and then the surface has a tactile outline of a football field on it.
That's a silicone top.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a silicone that's the top layer that you put your hands on. And the best technique is to put your hands flat with your fingers, like your thumbs touching and all your fingers splayed apart. And when you do that, your right pinky will be on one end zone. And you guys, I can't mute myself because I will never get back on this call. So I'm sorry. I you're going to hear a tad a bit of noise. But so one pinky will be on one end zone and the other pinky will be on the other. And then when they have live feed from the NFL game that you're tied to, and when the ball is kicked or thrown, you can feel this vibration all the way across your hands. It is truly amazing. And when it goes into the end zone, it vibrates like crazy. And it's extremely accurate. Each 10-yard line is marked in Braille and with other markings in case you don't know Braille. So you can tell what yard line it is and how far it's gone, how far they've gone in that particular play that they were doing. I think it's amazing. Yeah, and I did make a lot of videos, TikToks and stuff Mike and I are talking about under Gina, Blind Woman of Action. And it's G-E-N-A. But this is one of my favorite things that I learned about.
Yeah, and I would say that one chord is more accessible than TikTok.
Yeah, it is.
That's one chord.
But it's still, it's
O-N-E chord. And
like a basketball court.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they, I think you'll first see it, maybe let's say Braille Institute or Lighthouse will buy one and you can have watch parties. We did it at CES. We went into a sports bar there in the Mandalay Bay, and I think the Raiders were on, and I was able to feel the activity as people are cheering on the, you know, all around you and things are happening. I could feel the activity, the passes being thrown. It really introduces a whole new concept to how blind people could, quote unquote, watch games, not just audibly or not just with description, but actually feeling very precise stuff that could not easily be described.
But also the social aspect, you guys, we were able to totally engage with everybody watching the game and listening to the game and really be part of the social aspect of watching a football game, which I think is a big detriment to a blind person with the traditional ways of accessing a football game and being a, you know, just a standby person wanting to enjoy it with your friends.
Yeah, and another product from a startup company that CTA supported and I've been talking to a lot is the Glidance. And Glidance is a company that was formed by Amos Miller, and he was the person who was at the foundation of Soundscape at Microsoft, and he now has his own company. And he's talking to a lot of blind people and trying to figure out the right setup for this thing. Picture a stick vacuum, you know, something you vacuum around holding a handle. But the pole goes down, and at the bottom of the pole, the handle that you're holding on to, there's a robot. It's got two wheels. There's no motors. And it has all the sensors, the LiDAR, the radar, all the DARs. And what it does is you walk along with this in front of you, and it turns to avoid obstacles. So the sensors see the obstacle, and then the wheels kind of brake one or the other to guide you around it. A very interesting concept. He's feeling that people who don't want to use a cane or a dog, so this isn't, you know, for all of us, but there's a lot of people who are, for whatever reason, they don't want to use a cane or a dog. This sort of robot device would be something they'd be intrigued by. Anything else you want to say, Gina?
Oh, yeah. I love this. And I would say the one thing Mike has really taught me is I could list a lot of things that are not practical, like what when you get to the stairs, and it knows when you get to the stairs, and it knows when you're going to go off the sidewalk. However, there's the, do you pick it up or what do you do with it? And Mike has really taught me, you know, that it's work in progress, and it is progress. It was so amazing, you guys. It was super lightweight. I mean, I literally barely touched the thing, and it navigated me in this super crowded convention conference area around poles and tables and people. I thought it was very exciting, and it was really freeing. It's really cool. I hope it keeps getting developed and it turns into something we can all use.
Yeah, you'll see it at conferences. I think they'll be at CSUN. I'm not positive.
He will.
Yeah. Okay.
And he'll be with us on Tech Talk. I think it's April or maybe it's May. So.
Oh, fun. Well, it's coming along nicely. Each time I see it, it's iterated even better. A dog product that just kind of intrigued me that it could be done is it's called Xido, X-I-D-O. And it was a pet washing machine. So picture a dog kennel, you know, that you'd have in your house, you know, like a metal one. But it has all sorts of brushes and rollers and water spray things. You put your dog in there and it washes the dog, completely grooms the dog in about 20 minutes. I think Gina and I were both intrigued that, you know, why would anybody do that? But, you know, for these dog grooming places where you go and you spend $100 and they spend 2 hours on your dog, they could benefit from, or the dog guide schools, you know, they have 500 dogs. They could benefit from one of these things. Yeah, Xido. And then there was a whole bunch of devices that had to do with kind of in the same vein as Glidance, but around obstacle detection. And one was called Lumen that was a little bit space age. And Gina, she did a TikTok about this thing. Tell them about the Lumen.
So I get a little confused, you guys. We tried a lot of these things. That's the one where you look like R2-D2, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a thing you wear on your head. It doesn't feel super heavy when you're wearing it. I believe it would get really heavy. I think it is a bit heavy, but it's a lot of adrenaline going when we're trying these new devices. And so it's not in front of your eyes. It's not like glasses. It's like wrapped around your forehead, and it has a vibration. And they do a little pre-training that's very quick and easy. But the goal is you leave the dot needs to be kind of above your nose, between your eyes, above your nose, the vibration. And so if you veer and you're going to run into something, which it's detecting with LIDAR and all cameras and all kinds of things, and it detects obstacles. If you're going to be in the line of running into one, it scoots its vibration, say, to the left of the middle. And you adjust yourself. It's very easy once you do it for 12 steps. You can just constantly make very, very small, minute changes and stay on the path. And this was another thing that I did not run into anything. Cool, feel free, feeling very independent. I thought it was great. Again, I wouldn't really want to walk around wearing that on my head, but for, you know, research and progress and invention, it's really good.
Yeah, you always assume these things will get smaller. But it was an interesting concept and fun to test. In the same vein, there's a place called Lighthouse Tech from Switzerland, and they had simply a pair of glasses with sensors on it, kind of like the old mini guide or some of these other vibrotactile devices. And as an object was in front of you, the thing would vibrate, so you could steer around it. Kind of like the Lumen, but in a much smaller form factor. It was just a pair of glasses, and you could control the vibration level. It was set pretty high when we were testing it, but it has radar and sonar and so forth. It was, and I think it's probably closer to being an actual product on the market?
Mike, I was thinking about a product that could detect things coming while you're walking, say from the right, when you're at an intersection and something's coming very fast, it would give you a warning so that before you might hear it. Was that one of the things that was there?
That wasn't there, but it's a product I've talked about because Garmin makes a product that does that for people on bicycles, because cars can come up from behind and it reaches out 300 or 400 feet. So it can even get a car going pretty fast and give you a warning. And I thought it'd be interesting if you had enough audio feedback, if a blind person could get to an intersection, point it down the road, and it's going to go further than you can hear. So it wouldn't replace anything that you're doing, but it would just augment your capability to detect a fast ongoing car. A lot of people have probably heard of the WeWalk cane that has obstacle detection in it. There was another one at CES called Gokido, ironically also from Turkey. So I thought it was kind of weird. Why is Turkey into these things? And then there's an object detection app that I think is pretty amazing. It's Orion, O-O-R-I-O-N. It's free to download. Try it out. And the beauty of it is it does the obstacle detection on the phone, so it can be offline. It doesn't have to be online the way that a lot of these other obstacle detection apps have to be.
And it also has a really neat feature where you can teach it, like, this is my black purse or this is my red baseball hat. And then you can do scanning the room, and it will identify the thing that you taught it. So if you're looking for something, it seems really neat. I haven't had much chance to play with it, but it's definitely on the right idea. And what a unique thing to be able to name things and teach it what the objects are and then find them.
And speaking of unique, there was a device that it's a special attachment for your Sonicare brush. I mean, they sell their own version of it, but the brush head goes on both sides of your teeth. So you just put it in your mouth, kind of like a whitening device or something. It's around your teeth. You turn it on and you just let it sit there, and it vibrates your teeth and it supposedly cleans them. And
in 28 seconds, it's called U-Brush. So it's literally, like Mike said, but a very thin, thin, thin tray. And it goes on the end of a Sonicare. It's made for the Sonicare system of teeth brushing. 28 seconds, your teeth are totally clean properly. I think it's totally on. You can buy it on Amazon. It's called U-Brush. Y-O-U, I believe.
Yeah, YOU-brush.co. I better get to question time here soon, but let me see.
The thing, the ball throwing thing?
I'll get to that. Open ear headphone was called Majawa, M-A-J-A-W-A. So anybody's looking into that. There's a phone Blind Shell, I'm thinking of. There's a phone called Raz, a Raz phone. If anybody's into those alternative phones, or particularly phones for elderly people, that was one to check out. The Samsung refrigerator, we'll skip that. Samsung, the frames glasses, I'd never seen those before. So those were kind of interesting to be able to have essentially an echo on your face. Now my echo is talking to me. All right, you can stop that. There was a Panasonic microwave. It was $299, and I know echo stop. Now it's going to play music for me. The Sanjin radio was there again. If anybody wants an AM/FM radio that has complete speech output, the Sanjin PRD-17 does that. Bob's pet vacuum, Vacket. There's a couple names associated. Yaber, Y-A-B-E-R. And it was pretty inexpensive, under $100. And then Vacket, V-A-C-K-I-T-5. So I think at some point I might be interested in getting that. Tell them about what's the dog machine? I'm not finding it, Gina, but.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you guys about it. It's super neat. So it looks like I envision it as the size of a cat carrier box. Like you could carry, you know, a smallish cat, and it's really a robot and it can do multiple things, but it's meant, the one thing it does is it throws a ball for your dog and it knows not to hit your dog. It can identify with cameras and LIDAR again, repeatedly with these tools. Will not hit your dog with it. And it has a technique where it trains your dog to bring the ball back and put it in the hole, and then it'll throw it again. It also has a screen, like I'd say a quarter the size of a laptop, like half the size of a laptop. And you can record messages that are going to be played when you say it. One, I want you to tell my, you know, make a message for your dog, and it's going to play a message for your dog. The other thing is it does have a bunch of training techniques, but the unique thing is the ball throwing, then it goes back. And then the other thing that comes with it is another little robot that is a feeding station. And it's the only feeding station on the market that can dispense pills in the right proper order. So if it's one pill for one cup of dog food, it'll drop that one pill to the dog in that dog food, and it will tell you if the dog's eaten the pill and how much of the dog food the dog has eaten. So it has all kinds of features for just regular dog care, and if you have to be away, and for training of dogs. It was really neat.
Well, what's that called?
It's called Oro, O-R-O. And they considered a pet companion. So if nothing else, it'd be nice for remote dog feeding.
And for getting dog exercise.
Mm-hmm. So I'll end with a comment on the hands-free glasses, because I mentioned that. There's a number of these coming out, and I think, you know, you've heard about the Vision Pro Apple glasses, and you know about Envision AI. I'm excited in hopes that one of these will be able to be used with Ira and Be My Eyes, and because it's really convenient when you have those. You don't have to take your phone out. But the Ray-Ban Meta are $299, and they don't currently, Meta doesn't currently allow third-party applications to be used, but I think it's a matter of time before that will happen. There's the Celeste glasses, some of you may have heard about, that are doing this AI OCR stuff. There's a new one I just heard about called Rayneo, R-A-Y-N-E-O, Rayneo X2, that'll run the VOIC system and may be able to run Be My Eyes and Ira. There's another company called Vuzix, V-U-Z-I-X, smart glasses. Motorola has one. I mean, there's just tons. So anytime the market starts, you know, people see a market for these things, not just blind people. It's in, for reasons of being a spy cam or recording friends and family videos, then all of these glasses are starting to get cheaper and more powerful. So I'm excited about that. I'll be giving a presentation along with Envision AI at CSUN. I'm doing another one called the Accessible Toolbox with a teacher, Jamie Murdy. And then what's the other one I'm doing? Doing one more on collaboration on, wouldn't you know, on navigation with Good Maps.
Area code 951.
Hi, this is Nancy Younger, and a very good presentation. I heard it was a rumor, but someone said there's nothing like the real guide dog guide. But was this some kind of robotic dog that they were talking about? Thank you.
There have been for a number of years. There's Boston Scientific that has a robot. I think it was Samsung and University of Korea that were working on a robotic guide dog. And Sony's had one that's been more of a, you know, a toy kind of thing. So I don't think Glidance will be quick to remind you, this is not a replacement for a guide dog. It's not nearly as furry and fuzzy, but Gina did suggest to them that they put some Mickey Mouse ears on it and make it more entertaining.
Or German Shepherd ears, you know, something cute.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, next we have Dan from Sacramento.
That's Dan Kaiser.
That Dan.
The same one, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, nope. Sir.
Oh, you can hear me.
I can, no. But Mike can't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I have a Dan Kaiser filter.
Mike, I'm going to get you at EHC.
Okay, do it.
Let me ask you this question about autonomous, I don't know what you call it, pedestrian carts. I would say carts. Seniors who have had accidents or hip replacements or whatever ride these carts on the electric scooter, not scooters, but carts. Have you seen anything regarding carts? Because, you know, I could cruise down a 3/4 mile to my Safeway grocery store, put my guide dog in the back, and have enough room for groceries. Man, that would be so cool. Is there anything on the horizon like that? And I'll get out of here.
Yeah, Dan, I would say yes. I mean, the fact that you can have an autonomous vehicle with 29 cameras and all the sensors, it can drive through a city. What you're trying to accomplish at, let's say, 5 miles an hour, 7 miles an hour, shoot, you could get that stroller maybe and ride along in that.
Yeah, put your dog in the stroller.
I think I need one.
I think it's totally possible. Now, is there a market for it? I think you've just defined why it might be possible. The other thing that, you know, with guidance, I was really telling Amos was, I think there's a big market for this kind of technology on a walker. If you're blind and you have your hands tied up supporting yourself on a walker, wouldn't it be great to have all the sensors that help to guide you when you're using a walker? So and as you know, as the population ages and there's a bigger and bigger market for elderly people's stuff, I think this would be a really good one.
Okay, next we have Carla.
Mike, the question I have is, by any chance, was Lazarillo there? Because they seem to be developing and they get better and better on the blind shell. And other people have said that there's still a lot of things that it doesn't do. But I'm just wondering if you've seen, since you're into navigation, anything, if Lazarillo had a booth there.
No, it wouldn't make sense for Lazarillo to have a booth because they're, you know, the CES is typically not just for blindness companies. Now, potentially they could be supported like these others were, the CTA Foundation. That's a great product. It's got a lot of power as a navigation product. It's not meant for obstacle detection or any of this other stuff, but for navigation, it's really good. You know, there's others out there like Blind Square, Good Maps Outdoors, which is the latest version of the app I developed, is still going strong, and I think we'll be adding some more features. So I think these are good things for everybody to have in their accessible toolbox.
Thank you. Any chance of making the Blind Square, any of those things available for the blind shell?
No reason they couldn't. I mean, the blind shell is running, it's an Android operating system. And so any of these things can get on there. It's just a matter of the companies getting together and putting them on there. So Good Maps has an Android version. It could certainly go on the blind shell. Either they have an outdoor version and an indoor version. And I think it'd be great to get them onto an easy platform like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other hands up at this point.
Good timing. Let me think if there's anything else I've skipped over. Got a couple minutes to go. If anybody has a last minute question, go ahead.
Well, I have one more comment, Gina. I just want to, this was not at the tech conference, but it's a really cool thing that Mike got me for my birthday. It's called the Glam Cane, and it's a beautiful folding cane, the kind with like a normal, real functional cane for blind people. You can have different tips, and it's all glammed out. Mine has like pink for one section, you know, if you were to fold it in sections, it has gold for another section. it has another kind of mix. Anyway, it's super beautiful. It's very pretty, and I really like it. So those who want just traditional white canes, it's not for you. But other people who want a little flair, they should they can check it out.
And I'll cover with rhinestones, which makes it a little bit heavier, but you know, it's not as light as a, let's say, a carbon fiber cane, but it's probably the same weight as your typical Ambitech cane.
But sometimes you trade function for beauty, and it is very functional.
Happens all the things beautiful. That people do for beauty. No kidding, this is a minor minor thing. And it's there is glamcane.com, so if anybody wants to order it, and it when if you order one, you'll see it, the receipt comes from lechimusic.com, the artist. So this is, I guess, a side hustle.
Yeah, it's her and her partner's side hustle.
I guess one thing that pops into my head is I used to report on all the cool music things that went on at CES, but you know, the times have changed, and I think COVID certainly put a final nail in that coffin. But we used to go to a different concert almost every night, and these companies would compete with each other to have the biggest and best entertainment. And there might be a few private parties going on with some celebrities, but a tenth of what it used to be. Well, I hope people come to CSUN. I'll be in and out of the APH booth, or certainly text me or call me if you're there. Come see the Monarch at the APH event. They have an event honoring Code Jumper, another one of their cool products, on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. So you're certainly, anybody here is invited to come to that.
And I'll be there with Mike, accompanying Mike. So if you want to see the glam cane or touch the glam cane, and you can find all the things that we are talking about. Most of them I've made videos about for Gina, Blind Woman of Action, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
Nice. Well, thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Appreciate being back.
To both of you, and also Bob Sweetman for being here and chatting as well. I always look forward to this because I don't get to everything, and so it's nice to be able to hear about some of the things that come out every year with regard to CES. And next week, it's funny because this happened a couple of weeks ago and it's going to happen again. We will have representatives from the Envision Glasses who will be here to talk about the glasses. Mike alluded to them. The week after that, Amos Miller will be here to talk about Glidance. And we had him on Main Menu a few years ago when he was still with Microsoft. So I'm really looking forward to this. He sent us some things about Glidance, and I've not seen it yet, and I won't be at CSUN, so I won't be able to actually see it. John might.
But I will be there armed with my Zoom H4 Essential.
Ooh.
Nice.
Walking Ooh. Around. Do you have one of those, Mike? Have you seen those?
No, I was waiting to hear Jonathan Mosen's report on the H1, 4, and 6.
Yep. They're already out on his Podmaker show.
Yeah.
But they're going to be coming out as extras in it, you know, besides his weekly show.
I look forward to seeing yours.
Yeah. They are, absolutely. He does an excellent job.
Samuel Green from Zoom Essentials will be with us in April to talk about that.
Great.
As well, yeah. And Jonathan Mosen is coming in May
to talk
about them some more. It's been a long time.
From a blind
since
person's
we've had
perspective.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Samuel's going to give us the Zoom version, and Jonathan will give us from the blind perspective. So.
Nice.
You're going to get sick of them before we're through.
No, I don't think so. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, everybody.
And I'll not see you guys at CSUN, but John will. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. And thanks, everybody, for joining us on Tech Talk.